Wasn't that great praise this morning as we come into church and we get lifted up into the heavens with those songs? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Before I start this morning, I just want to give a plug to the Motherwell Food Bank. It's been great that the church have been able to take this on and working in the community. They're doing an absolute great job. Andrew and the team are working well on a Thursday morning between 10 and 1 down at the Maranatha Centre. I just want to encourage you, they're taking it to new levels from what Basics had done. I'd been able to take it so far, but CVCC and South Wisher Church, who've taken the other half of the honour, taking it to new levels. I just encourage you to pray for it, pray for the food bank, pray for the volunteers and the managers, pray for the people that come along. And also pray, in praying for it, also provide for it. And in these wee leaflets you can get at the back table that gives a list of all the items that they're needing on a weekly basis. So I'd encourage you to take one of them away. Pray over it, that lives will be touched through what they experience coming through to the food bank, and provide for what they need to give out as well. Well, over the last few Sundays, we've been considering the awesome power of vision. And this is the first time it's gone live as well, so hopefully everything will run smoothly. But we've been looking at seeing the future in the awesome power of vision. That was the first one that kicked off, and it was either looking at it with fear or looking at it through faith. Where is your where are you at that point? Are you looking at fear or faith? And then we looked at when you need a new start, the awesome power of vision, when you need a new start, when you need to reboot, so to speak, and kickstart again. And then we had a look at Christ's vision for a unified family, and it encompassed the power of love through that. Next one was my part in fulfilling Christ's vision, your witness to the world. Christ had a great vision when he left this earth to go and tell others about him and share the gospel, and that was an encouragement to us to be a witness to the world. And then last week we were thinking and considering keep harmony in the home. I've got two boys in the home, and sometimes it's not always good to keep harmony in the home. But we keep harmony in the home and small group and church by building bridges. And Eric shared with us about a safety net and having that kind of a cushion there so that we can keep harmony in these groups. Well, for a short time this morning, my responsibility is to unpack the subject of freedom from offence. Now, hopefully the PowerPoint behind will run as the notes, first time I've done it, so it might maybe jump about a bit. But today, we're going to look at the freedom from offence. I'm sure if I asked you to put up your hands and asked, do you like being offended? There'd be no volunteers. Nobody likes being offended, do they? Why is that? Because it's hurtful. It's hurtful to us as individuals, it can be hurtful to our families, it causes resentment if somebody offends you, and it cultivates anger within you, and it can be bubbling under the surface. Well, do you want the good news or the bad news first? I'll give you the bad news. You're going to get offended in your lifetime. You might already have been offended. If not once, twice, multiple times, you're going to be offended. Maybe it's a family member that's done it to you. Maybe you've been offended by a family member or a distant relative, a neighbor, a friend, or a brother and sister in Christ. You will be offended at some point. You have been, and you will in the future. And you might be sitting here just now, and as I've listed some of those groups of people, you might be recalling a time when that's happened to you. And you're reflecting back on that just now. Why is it that we will be offended in this life? Well, simply because we are flawed people and we live in a fallen world. Just reading this morning, I was reading about Adam and how he sinned, and that started that decline into a flawed and fallen world. It's an imperfect world that we live in. And all of us here, from the tallest, probably my Ewan, to the smallest, one of the wee babies, are imperfect. Many of you will have known my dad. And he was called home last year to be with his Lord and Saviour. And there'd be many times that we'd have chats up at the house in the Cambusnethan, and we'd be talking about different things, whether it's family issues or work issues or church issues, and he had a wealth of experience in the church side of things. And he said this to me, and I'll never forget it, and it's a true statement. He said, David, where you have people, you have problems. Where you have people, you have problems. Well, if that's true, and it is, I'm looking at a lot of problems this morning before me. I'm looking at a lot of problems before me. Well, on that cheery note, I think we better just pray and try and salvage something from the day, eh? But we're not going to do that. We're going to look at how that we can not be offended or live an offended, a life offended. We're going to look at to be how we are going to be offended, or but we don't have to live a life offended. It does get better, trust me. How does it look like? How can we be offended by somebody? Well, it could be a lie that's said about you. Somebody might have said a statement and it's just a pure lie. It could be an accusation against you for something that they say you've done and it isn't true. Or it could be a gossip, and things add, like Chinese whispers, they add to the story and it can get out of hand. There could be many more examples that you could maybe think of. But these are ways that we can become offended as individuals. We can be offended in the church. And we can react in a couple of ways to being offended. We can react by saying, we forgive. We can openly say that we forgive. But the bitterness rages inside where you can't, where other people can't see it. You can wear a smiling face, but inside there's resentment building up. It's like a bit of a passive, aggressive approach against the person who's offended you. Outwardly, you're fine. Aye, everything's fine. But inwardly, it's not. We can forgive outwardly, but in your head, you're really thinking, I would like to punch that face in when I see them, but in a gracious way. We can do gracious in church, but I'd like to punch that face in when they walk through the door. See, it's not what's seen, it's what's unseen that needs to be dealt with. Another way of dealing with an offense is to minimize it, to say it's no biggie. Let's just ride it out. It'll get over it and we won't have to deal with it again. But you know what? That's like a pot of simmering water. We put it on just to bring it to the boil, but we can forget about it, and it simmers away, and it simmers away, and it evaporates, and it can be so dangerous, and it's there. It's not being looked at. It's not being dealt with. That's where an offense, if we don't deal with it, can get out of control. If we haven't dealt with an offense in the proper manner and moved on. So when offended, how can we nip it in the bud and not let it fester or get sour and cause eruptions later on and cause hassle? Well, the best place to start with anything in life, is God's word. I'm sure you'll agree with that. It's the best place in all subjects that we come across in life. The Apostle Paul wrote many letters to the Christian churches during his ministry. He was hearing and seeing something that Dad had said. Remember that statement that Dad said? Where you have people, you have problems. And he was trying to address different issues within the early church. Apostle Paul had to address issues which food was right to eat, for example. What day was more holy? Was one more holy than the other? And he was looking to try and address these issues that had come up in the church that were causing offense to different people. Because one person had the idea that they're right. The other person says, no, I'm right. And never the twain will meet. But we don't want to have that in the Christian church. And listen to this golden nugget of advice to avoid being offended or causing an offense. In Romans 14:19, it says, so then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. And when I read these words, the thoughts came to me, that requires effort from David and it requires energy from David. And if it requires effort and energy from David, it requires it from you as well, or whoever's listening to this. I'm going to give you some examples of not picking up a life of offense against others. Let's go back to where it all began. It began in the Old Testament, and in Genesis, we read about a man called Joseph. Now, if ever there was a man who could be offended or had to live a life of offense, it would be him. If you remember from your maybe time in Sunday school or maybe books that you've read on the story of Joseph, he was loved by his dad, and his dad gave him a multicolored coat. His brothers didn't like it. They got him out in the wilderness, ripped the coat off, and sold him into slavery. And he would be gone for years and years and years, and years would pass, but it was all part of God's plan. The Bible's all part of God's plan to read and to think about. And in the Joseph story, he rose up to second in command of the land. And the story goes that his brothers had to come and ask for grain and ask for food because of the famine. And they were in front of Joseph. They didn't recognize him, but he certainly recognized them. But he had a different attitude. He wasn't one of having an offensive attitude. He was one of love. And he would forgive them for all that they had done to him. He didn't lead a life of offense. Fast forward to the New Testament on a whistle-stop tour of the Bible, and we find and read in the Gospel about Jesus. This year has been an Olympic, Paralympic year. Has anybody watched that on the television and been so inspired by all these athletes that win Olympic medals? Well, let me say this to you. Jesus is our go-to gold standard. In the Olympics, you don't get any better than gold. He is the go-to gold standard attitude on handling everything and anything that you come across. If there's a situation in your life that you've come across and you say, I don't know how to handle this, go to the Bible and read what Jesus would have done. I remembered when I was putting this together about the wee bracelets you would get, WWJD, what would Jesus do? How would he have handled a situation? How would he have handled an offense that was given to him? Jesus' attitude in being offended takes us directly to the cross. The cross is central to the Bible. The cross is central to everything that we would understand. Jesus was arrested and put on trial and falsely accused of telling lies. Remember going back to how were we offended? Well, people tell lies about us. People make up stories about us. They've done that to Jesus. They said he blasphemed. He was beaten to an inch of his life with the whips of the Roman soldiers, then sentenced to death by crucifixion, yet he hadn't done any wrong. He was surely prime candidate to live a life of offense and be offended. As Jesus hung on the cross, he uttered these words, which we are to adopt and do. In Luke 23:34, we read, he cries out to his Father, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. He prayed to his Father, and that's going to be key down the line in this talk. He prayed to his Father. Then after the resurrection, he went and had a conversation with Peter. Now, Peter, prior to Jesus' crucifixion, was asked once, twice, he was asked three times, do you know Jesus? No, don't know him. Nothing to do with him. Why are you talking to me about this man? He's just in the background. Peter denied that he knew Jesus. After the resurrection, did Jesus fight fire with fire? No, he didn't. Not at all. He showed grace by forgiving Peter for denying him. And he asked him, do you love me? He said, yes, yes, yes. And he forgave him. He didn't hold a life of offense. He didn't hold it against him. You may think these are biblical examples. What about a modern-day example? Because sometimes we can just go straight to God's Word. What about an example from God's about how God had changed somebody's life? You all know Eric, don't you? But it's not that Eric over there. He's been coming around the church and he's been a great blessing to the church. But this is an Eric Fitzgerald, and he was a young pastor. And he was preparing to be a new father to a baby boy. But he lost his wife, along with the unborn son, when the driver of another car fell asleep at the wheel after working a long shift as an emergency medical technician. Amongst the pain and grief, Eric was overcome with concern and compassion for the young man, Matthew Swatzel, responsible for taking the lives of his family. Upon hearing his intense guilt and shame he was experiencing, and faced with the decision to pursue the case against Matthew, push for the maximum penalty, or opt for a lesser charge, Eric chose the lesser charge. As a chance, this was his motivation, as a chance to demonstrate God's forgiveness and love. See, there's a theme running through here. We forgive people, we love people. In a chance meeting, Eric and Matthew ran into each other at the store, and Eric immediately reached out to him in embrace. It took action, it took energy, and they began to talk. Since that moment, the two developed a deep friendship, despite the tragic circumstances that allowed them to cross paths. What an unbelievable demonstration of forgiveness and complete restoration that only God can facilitate. Remember that phrase, only God can facilitate. Sometimes it's out with our control humanly, but let's go to God where nothing's out with his control. Your motivation comes to forgive from the cross where Jesus died for us all, and we've sung about that in our worship. Another one of my dad's sayings was, he was explaining to me about how the cross is central to the Bible. And he gave me this brilliant illustration that he stuck in my mind. In the Old Testament, the books of the Old Testament, they looked forward to the cross. They knew it was coming. They looked forward to it. And in the New Testament, and the New Testament saints and us here, centuries afterward, we look back to the cross. The cross is a central part of the Bible. And I just want to ask a question in the middle of this. Have you experienced the forgiveness that only God can give through his son Jesus? I just want to read two scriptures to you that are a promise to you today if you haven't received his forgiveness. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he personally carried our sins in his body at the cross. The cross is central. So that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Jesus would heal you. Colossians 2:13-14, you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. See, we are free to choose our actions. We are free to accept that. But we are not free to choose the consequences of our actions. We are free to choose our actions, but we are not free to choose the consequences of our actions. Putting our faith in Jesus' life, we read about that in the scriptures, his death, we mentioned the cross, his resurrection, you will have your sins forgiven. That's a guarantee. Jesus sets us free from the wages of sin, which is eternal death and a place in hell. Inclusion with God is in heaven. Exclusion is a place without God. If you haven't put your trust in Jesus, do it. Don't delay, because one day it will be too late. And I read this morning in my daily bread readings before I came out. This is what it says, and it kind of links in brilliantly with what I've just said. Through his death on the cross, Jesus offers eternal life to anyone who puts their faith in him. If you haven't received his forgiveness and salvation, may you do it today. If you're already a believer, praise him for what he's done by his great act of love. Love in action. That was what Jesus' death was for us. We can stop being an offense or continue to live a life offended by reminding ourselves that we are forgiven people. That's where the bases are. We are forgiven people. And that starts at the cross, where we've just reflected on. As forgiven people, we are commanded to forgive people who wrong us and offend us. These are Jesus' words in Luke 17:3. So watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. Forgiving is a byproduct of our faith. And it's an indicator to the world who watches if you profess to be a believer in Jesus Christ, how you're doing. But it's an indicator to the world that you stand with Jesus, because Jesus stands for forgiveness. But there was a question asked by one of the disciples to Jesus. Jesus, I can accept that we can forgive. We need to forgive. But listen, can we have some sort of built-in insurance policy that, is it three strikes and you're out? Three offenses and I'm going to get you? This is what Jesus said. There is no set limit to forgiving. Sorry, there's no set limit. Jesus said to Peter, no, not seven times, because Peter, can he upped it? He said to say, I gave you three times, but he said seven times. But Jesus replied, not 70 times, but 70 times seven. Not seven times, but 70 times seven. In essence, you can wrap that up in a statement. It's unending. And it's just like God's forgiving grace, limitless to the end. If you take nothing away, take that message away, that God's forgiving grace is limitless to the end, limitless and free. So as believers, we are called not to be offended. How is that done? Just going to look at five ways quickly, just as we close. We need to cultivate the following attitude of talking to the right person. And who is that person that we need to talk to? Well, it's not your spouse. You don't go to your spouse first. It's not your friend, as deep a relationship you might have with them. It's not the neighbor over the fence you go to and say, come here. I want to tell you, Bill, about somebody that's offended me. It's not a work colleague over tea or lunch that you normally have. And it's certainly not Michelle in the chip shop that you go and speak to when you're getting your fish supper on a Saturday night. It's using the awesome privilege of prayer that allows us to talk to God Almighty. And that's a wow statement. We have got a channel of communication to talk to God about all the things, the situations, the muckiness in our life that's causing us distress, that's caused us offense. We can go straight to the King of Kings. Firstly then, pray for the one who has caused offense to you. Pray for the one who has caused offense to you. It's not a prayer that asks them to get what's coming to them. No, it's the opposite. It's a prayer in love. It's a prayer to bless them. It's a prayer to do good to them. It's a prayer to love them. It's a prayer not to ignore them, because that's easy enough to ignore them. He's offended me. I'm not going to have anything to do with him. We're not called to do that. Jesus gives us this example in Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. So pray for the one who has caused you to be offended. Secondly, pray. Ask God to reveal the hurt to you and where you're hurting. Is there something that you're holding on to that's simmering under the surface? Remember that pot of boiling water that's just simmering away? Well, it's going to run out of water, the steam's going to go, and it's going to be a big catastrophe. Is there something that you're holding on to that it's hard to pinpoint? One of my favorite psalms, one of my favorite verses and readings in the Bible is found in Psalm 139. I just love it. It tells you this in the first verse, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. See, we can hide things from other people. We can hide things in the church from other people. We can hide things from our family. But you can't hide anything from God, because God knows everything about you. And go to God and ask, reveal what's hurting me, what's causing me to feel like this, and reveal the hurt to you. Pray to God. Pray to God. Here's another one. Pray to God to forgive you for being an offense to others, because sometimes we can take the high ground and say, well, I never do that. I would never do that. But the reality is, if we go back to what I said at the beginning, we're all flawed. We live in a fallen world. I remember a Facebook comment, and this is what challenged me, that I put on. Facebook's good, you can fire on comments, left, right, and center. And I thought I made a funny statement, but the person who read it was offended by it. And it was removed immediately. The first opportunity I had to speak to them in person, and I apologized. If I had offended them, I didn't think I'd offended them, but they took offense at it. And it was not, but that was not my intention. But I sensed an issue and I went and talked to them. And together, we talked together and he seen it. And he accepted the apology and it was no longer the elephant in the room. How many elephants can we fit into a church building? We need to get these elephants out of the room. So there's more space for praise and worship and togetherness. Again, in Psalm 139, it says here, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." See, we can be an offense to others. We need to understand that. It may look like being unkind. It may be being headstrong. It may be not listening to advice. Maybe make me look better than others or becoming judgmental, which is the easy road to take. We can fall into these categories. So we are to go and pray to God and say, "Listen, forgive me for being an offense to others. If I'm expecting others to come to me, I need to be ready as well." Number four, pray. Again, prayer. Ask God as a theme to give you the strength to forgive and forget. This is an interesting one. Pray, ask God to give you the strength to forgive and forget what others have done. And this is where freedom comes in. Lindsay often says this, and the boys will back me up in this, "I'm hard work." And many people will say that apart from Lindsay, "I'm hard work." And it's perfectly true, relationships are tough. Relationships are tough, but this is what God's word says. "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you." That addresses the subject straight away. Make allowance for other people's faults, and we have many, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember that the Lord forgave you, and you must forgive others. Remember, going back to the gold standard, Jesus is our gold standard. So he forgives, we must forgive. It goes down the chain. But that statement in Colossians requires energy, and it requires effort. It's not a maybe, it's a must. You must forgive. Do we have anybody here who likes fishing? Any fishers here? Anybody a fisher of men? All the hands should shoot up. Anybody like fishing? Oh, there's one there. I always knew. That's exactly for you. Well, I remember seeing this cartoon, and it should be coming up, hopefully. Or this makes no sense at all. In Micah 7:19, there it is there. Notice, no fishing allowed. And this is what it says in Micah 7:19, and this is what I was directed to about making allowance for other people's faults, forgiving. "Once again, you have compassion speaking about God on us and trample our sins under his feet and throw them into the depths of the sea." How often we can forgive, but we don't forget. But God, when he forgives, he forgets. He throws it into the depths of the sea. We're told that there's parts of the ocean that we don't even know what's down there because they're so deep that we can't get into them. And that's what we're encouraged to do when people offend against us. We're asked to forgive and to forget it, not to bring it up again. We're asked to seal it away. When God forgives, he forgets. That's what we're called to do. No fishing. And this picture is like releasing it from your grasp, what you're holding on to in your heart, what's in your mind, releasing it and giving it to God to seal it away, never to be referred to, never to be dug up again, never to be put on Facebook, never to be spoken in an argument. Lastly, speak in love to the person that has been an offense to you. Relationships are hard, but speak in love. Jesus tells us this in Matthew 17:15, "If another believer sins against you, Go privately and point out that offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. It also takes the elephant out of the room. There's more space for love and praise and worship. Is forgiving a person that has offended you an easy task? Of course it's not. It's not easy to go and have that conversation, but it's the best place and it's the best way to deal with it. I came across another quote while putting this message together, and it says this: holding grudges doesn't make you strong. It makes you bitter. Forgiving doesn't make you weak, but it sets you free. Let's cultivate the attitude of forgiving as Jesus would have forgave us for all the wrong that we've done. Jesus would have forgiven our sins. The key to living a life free from offense is to forgive as Jesus forgave. Let's pray as the praise band comes up. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this series on living a life, not being offended, Lord. We thank you for what you've told us through your words, Lord, how you ask us to be people who bring situations to you, Lord, who pour out their hearts, who ask for forgiveness, so and ask people, and forgive people who have offended us, Lord. Help us to cultivate that attitude as we would move forward. Help us to shine as beacons in the community for a church that follows Jesus' teaching, that follows Jesus' methods of dealing with things. And help us to do that on a daily basis. In your name, amen.